Okay, I've got a question. What does a camera named King Arthur, a dog who loves to steal, and Bongo Santa have in common?
Well, somehow, believe it or not, they are all key plot points in 2023's To All a Good Night. We've got a lot to talk about, Jennifer.
We sure do, Josh. We'll unwrap it all on this episode of Do You Watch What I Watch? Today, we are traveling to Harmony Bay, where land may or may not be at risk. Is there a big, bad developer at hand?
You'll just have to stay tuned. But first things first, be a good guy or a good gal. Give us a 5-star review. You can like us. You can share us with a friend. You can write a review. All of it helps to grow our podcast family here, and we really appreciate you for taking the time to do that. Also, feel free to connect with us on our social media channels where we are gabbing about all things holiday movies, and this time of year, really all things Christmas. You can find links to everything on our website at doyouwatchwhatiwatch.com.
And if you leave us a comment, one of us, or sometimes both of us, will respond to you.
Trust
one of our dear listeners commented the other day, and I looked and I'd commented back, and then I realized you had too. We said basically the same thing. I was like, oh, but we do run our own socials, so direct line to us.
There you go. Okay. Right here.
Okay, let's get started. Here's the plot summary for To All a Good Night. A small town photographer saves the life of a mysterious man who may just be in town to buy her family's parkland, which is also the location of the annual Christmas celebration. This is a movies and mysteries movie. Let's find out what happens. Okay, I have a short synopsis for you. This movie stars Kimberly Susted, our queen. That's it. That's the recap. All gold. Wrap
Period.
It up.
Move on.
Just kidding. But I believe when we drafted this, I did not realize that she was starring in it.
I didn't.
And I was kind of like, I don't know about the synopsis, but with her presence alone, moved up in my rankings just as soon as I saw she was going to be in it. So let's see. Okay. So we opened to sweeping shots of camera close ups and lakeside cheer. Our lead, Kimberly, who is the character Cece, is teaching kiddos about photography for a display that will be housed in her photo studio storefront in town. We see a sign in the woods that says, To All a Good Night is canceled. That's weird. Okay. She tells someone on the phone, he's on the move. I'll pick you up. And I'm like, is this Catch Me If You Claws? What are we doing? She picks up her bestie and they chase a dot on a map. He's going this way. He's going that way. He's over the fence. It leads them to a garage where the most adorable pupper ever, Max, is sitting there looking guilty but still cute with a shoe hanging out of his mouth. He has been stealing shoes, scarves, all kinds of nonsense from around town and is taking it to a shed, or I said garage, but a shed. And he is the dog of the bed and breakfast owner. And yes, he's a thief. And now they know where all their stuff's been going. So the townies are all in the garage rummaging around to find their stuff, and Cece is wearing an elephant necklace because her dad loved elephants. She is the one who canceled To All a Good Night this year because it's the first Christmas without her dad, as she tells this sweet little child that seemed like a random scene, but it comes back later. At a development office, we see our leading man, Sam. His dad is giving him framed medals with a purple heart. Is that what that was?
I think so, yeah.
And it's very nice. And then Sam gets a letter and has to go. Okay. Here we are with the mystery of the movie. Cece's at the paper with her bestie looking at her handiwork of Max and the stuff he stole. And her stepmother comes by to shame her for taking photos of dogs with all of her education. And she brings what is known as Bongo Santa. Now, listener, Bongo Santa is really the star of the movie.
Right.
He's this drummer boy Santa animatronic thing. But his eyes are red, and it is terrifying. He might steal your soul.
Yeah.
Now, my great-grandmother had an animatronic angel one year that would do this. And then she got kind of a little devilish and weird and short-circuited. Have you ever had any creepy Christmas decor, Josh?
I have not had creepy Christmas decor because if it's creepy, I'm probably not going to put it up. And you're right. This Bongo Santa is the stuff of nightmares. The glowing eyes... killed me.
He's not even playing bongos. Wasn't it like more of a snare Santa?
I think so. Exactly. But to your point, Vivian, the stepmother here, basically drops it off and she's like, your dad loved it. I thought you would want it. But she is really not kind to Cece.
Yeah.
Go. It is a frosty relationship between the two of them from go.
For sure. So Cece, one of the kids at the photo, when they were at the photo class, thought he left his phone in the woods. So she's in the woods trying to find the phone. She sees a motorcyclist drive by. Well, no one here in Willow Glen drives a motorcycle. She's on the phone with Bestie, and she hears him, Sam, run off the road. And luckily, she was on the phone with Bestie. She's like, call for help. And she rushes over to him. He's fallen off of his motorcycle. He's kind of in and out of it. And she keeps talking to him to make sure he's alert. She's like, I'm not going to take your helmet off for safety because you're not supposed to do that. Good on you, Kimberly Sested. Don't move him. Leave him right where they are until the professionals arrive. Mm-hmm. We can kind of see his point of view. All he can see because his helmet's on is her necklace, the elephant necklace. He mumbles about how his friends are all gone. And then he asks her to marry him. And she's like, okay, yeah, I'll marry you, sure. And I'll bring you a Sally burger when you're awake at the hospital because hospital food is terrible. And then he passes out. What is happening?
This is all very dramatic. Very dramatic. And I was like, oh, yes, it's because we're on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. It's the drama is always a little ramped up when we're over there. Yes.
A little elevated. And there's a different tone usually on the Movies and Mysteries channel. So I did note that I want Kimberly Sested to assist me when I'm in crisis. Can she run like a hotline? Because she was great. She did everything right. Just keep them talking so they don't lose consciousness, even though he did in the end. But
exactly.
Next, after commercial break, I guess he's fine or at the hospital because we're back and she's with Bestie at the photography studio and Bongo Santa is in the background. So evidently he's just going to come along with us wherever we may go this season. The dog prances by with a red boot in his mouth. Not again. I guess that's just going to be a runner as well. Cece takes balloons and a burger to the hospital as promised to see this mystery guy. He's out of the room for scans, but she's friends with one of the nurses and lets her in the room. She sets everything up. She sees a text on his phone that is, Dad wants an update on the land acquisition. And then she runs out. She figures out who he is and that he works for this big bad, or not even big bad, but a developer. And she's afraid that Willow Glen, her family's land, is at risk. She tells Bestie, who works for the newspaper, and they take off to his room to interview him and find out his intentions of why he is in town. She removes her elephant necklace ahead of time so he won't know who she is because she's like, no, all he could see was my necklace. That seemed a little far-fetched. He did hear her speak, but I guess he was maybe
in and out.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. He says, hey, can you help me figure out who my mystery person is who saved my life? And they're like, sure, we'll put it in the paper. After they leave, his cousin is there with him, and he's like, who is that? And he's like, I think that's the person who saved my life, but I'm not quite sure. So he's already on to the Cece of it all. Cece then thinks her stepmom is preparing to sell Willow Glen because she's been cleaning out the attic, which is why she's bringing Bongo Santa around. And Sam shows up at her photography window display. Oh, I have a prop for YouTube listeners. They're all like, yeah. Her and her bestie during the scene are putting on like crazy tacky Christmas, like photo booth decor. I can't wear antlers and the headphones. Oh, maybe I can.
There you go.
But it's so funny to me because they kept doing it, but they were having a serious conversation as they just kept taking on and off all this tacky Christmas stuff. It made me laugh. My glasses are down. Okay, we're fine. So we meet Bestie's husband, Ryan, who is deaf, and they do some ASL sign language. Turns out Sam is also knows ASL, and so they're all like, okay, who is this guy? He is determined to find his guardian angel. He asks if Cece will go to Sally's with him, the burger place, to see if they can identify who saved him. We don't see Ryan anymore in the movie.
Nope.
Not one scene more with Ryan, which was a bit of a bummer. I thought he was going to be like another side character. Not so much. much.
I did too. I loved the representation, and I wish we would have gotten more of it. Yeah.
Don't see him anymore. Okay. Cece tells Sam more about the annual tradition that she had with her dad. So every year they would decorate trees in Willow Glen, and people would come for a celebration. So basically, instead of chopping down a tree, buying a tree, people would take whatever money they would spend on a tree and give it to Cece's family to put to good use for needy families. And then they would decorate a tree in Willow Glen just for the night. There was lights, food trucks, merriment, and then it would all get taken down, which I think is a great idea. This seems like a super cute tradition. Nothing I've ever heard of. I'm here for it.
Yes.
So Sally turns out short for Salvador, and he greets them at the restaurant, and he can tell Cece's trying to hide her identity, and he covers for and says he doesn't know who bought the burger. We're busy with selling a lot of burgers. And then Cece's like, look, Sam, you can't have Willow Glen. I will fight you. You will lose. She gets feisty. She gets mad. She takes her burger to the other table. Now, Sam never said he wanted Willow Glen, so this was a jump based on her stalking his texts on his phone when she was in his room being kind of a weirdo, right?
Exactly. She's off the deep end about it, and he is off the deep end about trying to find his good Samaritan. But I'm left with an even bigger lingering question, Jennifer. What's in a Sally's Christmas burger that makes it apparently the best burger ever out there?
I don't know, but it made me want a burger for sure. It looked like on top there was like an olive, maybe. It was something red and something green, like toothpicked on the top of the bun.
Yeah, and it looked like the bun
maybe
was
it's like
red.
A tomato. Yeah. Maybe a tomato and an olive, but that doesn't sound terribly tasty. I don't know.
Unclear. We never got the recipe, and I'm kind of bummed about that, but anywho.
Maybe there'll be a part two where they do the recipe.
We'll see it on Food Network.
It's just following Sally the whole time, which I'd be okay with.
Right.
Okay, so Sam is reading his mystery letter at the bed and breakfast. He's out of the hospital at this point, obviously. He left his boots outside because they were dirty, and Max stole the boot, and they have to go retrieve it in the shed. He tells Cece that he's not looking to buy Willow Glen. He's working on a mystery project his father wouldn't approve of and offers cookies as a peace offering. She takes Bongo Santa to the newsroom, stare at her bestie, and it scares Sam, rightfully so. And then stepmom swoops in to drop off some family photos. And at this point, I wrote, this movie is choppy. Yeah. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I'm too spazzy. But I feel like every time I talk about these movies, I'm like, and then they do this, and then they do that, and then they're at a different location, and then they're doing this.
Yeah.
Especially in movies where they're trying to like solve a mystery. So they're really like on the move, talking to a lot of different people and really building the town, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also because there's just a lot of different moving parts here. You know, you've got the dog subplot, you've got his thing, you've got her thing, you've got the developer thing. It's just there's a lot going on here that they're trying to.
You got Bongo Santa.
Bongo Santa. You've got the Santa Burger, Sally's, the whole nine yards. Yeah, exactly.
Which I do appreciate. So Bongo Santa ends up between her and her best friend. It's a bit. So they just keep moving it around from place to place. Like she'll drop it off in the newsroom. Then bestie will take it to her photography studio. Like it just sometimes shows up in the background without a word. And I appreciate that. Okay. Cece's doing a Christmas photo shoot and Sam offers to assist her because his motorcycle won't be done until after Christmas. So he's in town longer than he expected. Might as well help and flirt with Cece. She invites him to a Christmas card event later where everybody's going to wear jammies. And he shows up in a reindeer onesie, but the adults are not in jammies. And he says, I guess I misunderstood. I do feel like she set him up. I thought they would all be in jammies.
Yeah, she absolutely set him up on this. She said, everybody wears jammies. And then she shows up in an ugly sweater and jeans. So she looks like cute going to a Christmas party. And he looks like you would expect wearing Christmas
jammies. A buffoon.
Jammies. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like a weirdo.
But to his credit, he really leaned into it and really embraced it. I thought it was an LOL kind of cute moment.
Yes. So we see the little girl from earlier in the movie that Cece had told about her necklace. And she's like, where's your elephant necklace? I thought you never took it off. Whoops.
Whoops.
Cece is busted. And I'm so relieved that he knows now.
Yes.
I'm so glad he knows. I thought they were going to make this big reveal last till the end. So I'm delighted that like halfway through the movie, he knows she saved his life. We got that over with. I sighed out loud. So we learn that Sam's vision is an entire neighborhood where people want to live next to each other, but still be part of a larger community. So instead of like living on a compound like families may do, it's like you get plots next to each other in a subdivision type deal, I guess, which I think you could do
anywhere.
Anytime. Hmm. Like if you in a nude build, I feel like you could probably
swing that.
Do that. But she thinks probably it's a great idea. Happens. He says dad'll never go for it. Dad only goes for luxury stuff. And it's, you know, going to cause some familial strife there. They agree they're going to get Sally pancakes in the morning and she'll take him to see Willow Glen. She tells Sam that her dad was Christmas to her and she doesn't know how to do it without him. And when Kimberly is crying in this scene, I want to cry as well. So touching, so moving. Sam then tells her in a vulnerable moment that he lost his three best friends during the holidays. Sam encourages her to do the whole Christmas tree event again. And he has something to tell her about her dad, but he gets interrupted because the stepmom shows up and insists, hey, we need to do the big event this year. She's been clearing out the attic, turns out not to sell Willow Glen, but looking for decorations. Mm. She's gonna, and then she is actually, plot twist, going to sell Willow Glen to Cece for $1.
Quite the sudden thaw here on Vivian.
Yeah.
Maybe I misjudged Vivian. Maybe she's dealing with her own stuff and we didn't really get that subplot. But it feels like she went from really not nice to Cece to really nice, pretty much like that.
Well, we all grieve in different ways. Maybe she's just going through it. And maybe Cece hasn't been great to her. We don't really know much of their backstory. So
true. Good point.
They're good now. All is right in Whoville. So back at, I wrote Airbnb. Back at her friend's bed and breakfast, not Airbnb, the owner of the B&B puts Bongo Santa in Sam's room, and Max breaks in, sees Bongo Santa, but also steals Sam's mystery letter off of the console table. The bed and breakfast owner finds Max's stolen letter that he stole from Sam, and she's big mad about it when she gives it to Cece. Turns out Sam was with her dad when he bought the elephant necklace. Sam was injured in the military and learning to walk again, and he met her dad and they bonded about both being in the army. He promised her dad that he would clean up his life, and her dad had promised to write Sam a letter every year at Christmas. Sam had memorized the letter even that he got this year. So he asked Sam to check on Cece this first Christmas because it would be hard for her, and Cece would heal his heart. Is what the dad said in the letter, and that he should marry Cece, hence the proposal. Cece is rightfully hurt and asks him to leave, and I put in all caps, oopsie doodle.
Yeah. An emotional one at that, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of this whole letter, dad connected to him? And oh, and the bit was, I guess her dad used to joke with her, oh, you should marry that guy. You should marry that guy. You should marry that. So that's where the proposal bit came from.
Well, but I thought it was.
He did want them to meet and connect.
I thought it was sweet. I love kind of that kind of letter passing in the night kind of thing where it's sort of all orchestrated and comes together this sort of way. I think it was very obviously emotional for her as a character, and I thought she played it pretty well. What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I did not see it coming, so I thought both parties involved handled that scene really well. So we learned that the stepmom Vivian had sent the letter a couple weeks ago, and it turns out Cece's dad wrote dozens of letters every year to those feeling alone that he had met over the course of his life. Vivian and Cece reconcile, and it's a very sweet moment. And then cut to everyone's at Willow Glen decorating their trees for the big event. Sam shows up to decorate his tree, which is right next to Cece's, and she's still a little salty with him about this whole mystery letter thing because he hid something from her. He is decorating his tree with all elephants, which I thought was pretty baller move.
Classy.
She kind of breaks down and is like, okay, can you please help me? I need help. She apologizes to Sam and says that she's scared. They cry and talk to one another. And she says, if you're thinking about kissing me, now would be a really good time. So that was sweet. Back at the bed and breakfast, Sam's dad shows up and he pitches his prototype of this compound cul-de-sac thing. And his dad agrees to let him do it, and his cousin can take his position that he has at the big bad developer firm. So it really wasn't a big deal at all, which is usually what happens.
Overblown.
Here we are.
Yeah.
It's time for the event. The trees, everybody's decorated their trees. They all look amazing. Everyone is dressed up. Kimberly looks like a million bucks. And everyone who got letters from her father this year show up. Now that got me. I thought that was very sweet. Kimberly has this big moment. They all turn on all the Christmas lights and it's magical. Sam goes to kiss her and they take a Christmas photo the next day in Willow Glen. Willow
Bay.
What is it?
Willow Bay. Something.
No. Willow Glen. Yeah. And that's the end of the movie, folks.
All right, time for us to give some gifts in our gold or coal segment. We each get to give three of them. And if there's more gold in this one, we're going to call it our guardian angel. If there's more coal, it's good for nothing, Angelo. And if it's just a tie, 3-3, we're going to call it a meh, Merry Christmas. Jennifer, I'm coming to you first.
Well, and good for nothing, Angelo, is a little tidbit in the movie that it was one of Sally's things he would say about somebody. Anyway.
Indeed.
First, I mean, I gotta give gold to Kimberly Susted. That's it. She's amazing. She is so relatable in this movie. She's sincere. She has these funny, quirky moments, but also really heavy moments. She's trying to process the first holiday without her dad and the heaviness and weight that that entails, but also wanting to carry on the traditions that he'd started as a family. So I think I just really loved how she played all of that gold.
Yeah, agreed. I had that one as well, so I'll need to think of another one. She can do no wrong. My first gift then will be just a little bit of coal. I thought this subplot with Max, the thieving dog, I think they did just a little bit too much of it. Like, it was a little too much of the shtick that kept happening throughout this entire thing. Like, I get it. It's the thing that's kind of cute and kind of funny and played a part in the plot kind of toward the end, but it felt a little bit too much to me. So just a little cool.
I enjoyed it. I'm going to give gold for Bongo Santa because I thought it was a funny running gag. It's something that I could see my family doing, like,
yeah,
you know, kind of passing this thing back and forth and you never know where it's going to show up kind of deal. So,
yeah. I'm giving some gold the ASL subplot with the husband of the guy. We talked about this earlier. I love that kind of inclusion, that it just sort of happens and it's portrayed as just like a normal thing. But I also love that it became this moment where, and I don't know if you caught it, but she was trying to have sort of this side conversation using ASL, not knowing that he actually knew ASL, so it's sort of, mm-hmm. She got caught in it, and I thought that was a cute moment. I wanted more of that and more of that character.
Yeah.
So, but still, I thought it was gold.
I mean, did we even see him at the Christmas tree lighting?
I don't think so.
There.
I'm sure
he was
there.
But they didn't make a big point of it.
No, yeah.
My last gift will be a piece of coal. The ending felt very yada yada to me. Like, we do the lighting, we do this, and then the event is done, and then they're just exploring Willow Glen and taking pictures, and like, it just kind of seemed a little whiplashy to me. But
yeah, my last gift will be gold. This is really a pretty movie throughout. You know, they're not just walking through woods somewhere; they're walking through really pretty woods, and it's a lot of on the water. Even when they're having burgers at Sally's, that's on the water and it looks beautiful in the background and the whole nine yards. So I really felt like we were taken on a trip somewhere special. Like, it felt very kind of a special little corner of the world. And I thought that that just added to the overall flavor of what we were dealing with. So bottom line here, we had 4 gold, 2 coal. We think it's worth the watch and we're just going to call it Guardian Angel. Not bad at all. Final thoughts, Jennifer?
No. I thought it was a really solid movie. I liked it a lot. It's just, as the norm with the movies and mysteries flicks, I usually don't go back to them. I will watch them once. They're not repeats for me as a rule, just because I tend to gravitate more towards the jolly. And I wouldn't say this was a jolly movie, but it was super cute, super heartfelt. I love that the other people that he wrote letters to, her dad, showed up at the event. I thought that was a really nice touch that I wasn't expecting. Did you cry, Josh?
I did not cry. And I was sort of surprised that I didn't, because that was such a touching That was such a touching gesture. And I think they could have done even more with that at the end, you know, and to your point about it being yada yada, it would have been great to see more of the interaction of these other people with Cece to sort of pay their respects and show up. We got one conversation with one of the folks who was there, but I think seeing more of that would have been even better and more heartfelt, and certainly would have upped the cry count for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I almost cried once, but it wasn't a full cry. So cry count zero on this one.
And that, friends, is another episode of Do You Watch What I Watch?
Special thanks, as always, to Nick Schwartz for our theme song and to you for listening.
Hey, if you like our podcast, thank you so much for taking the time to listen and to watch. Be sure to subscribe, like, write a 5-star review, and tell a friend about our podcast. You can also connect with us on all of our social media channels. We're online at our website, doyouwatchwhatiwatch.com. Next time, we're heading over to Up TV. Back to Up.
We've been everywhere this week. This week we have hit Lifetime, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, and now Up TV.
We're all over the place. It is a lot. And so we're going to be reviewing Up TV's new film, Yuletide the Knot. And here's the synopsis. Small town wedding planner Rachel is planning her biggest Christmas wedding for an influencer couple, and she's thrown a surprise when the bride's manager turns out to be Logan, her first love and her high school sweetheart, her one that got away. We will have so much to discuss, but until then,
may your days be merry and bright. We'll see you next time.